He takes a sinner, vain and wild. shall be exalted there, no queen with all her glory here was ever half so fair. The pearl dove is singing now, the winter's past and gone. Rise up, my fair one, come away, I'll take you home to stay.
351.
Asleep in Jesus, blessed sleep, from which none ever wakes to weep. A calm and undisturbed repose, unbroken by the last of foes. Asleep in Jesus, oh how sweet to be for such a slumber free, with holy confidence to sing that death has lost its venom sting. Asleep in Jesus, peaceful rest, whose waking is supremely blessed. No fear, no woes shall dim that hour that manifests the Savior's power. Asleep in Jesus, far from thee, thy kindred and their graves may be, but thine is still a blessed sleep from which none ever wakes to in shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along, where the waters do flow, bathes the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along, some through the season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Though some leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but
God wills a song in the night season and all the day long. Time to continue on with our worship service in the way of prayer and preaching, we hope. And we welcome everybody that's come to be with us today. Everybody knows Brother Hilton has a goiter, two goiters, and he's swollen real bad in his throat, and the Lord willing, he's going Wednesday to Alamance Hospital to have those goiters removed. And we're certainly have already been trying to pray that things go well with him. And Sister Janie, understand that Brother Robertson that came here regularly, fairly regularly, is down here in the rest home on Maple Street. What'd you say the name of that was?
You mean the rest
home?
Avante.
And Brother Key said that he's real weak and getting hard to do anything without giving out a breath. And I know when he was here, he's lost a tremendous amount of weight. And we want to remember him. Is there anybody else, Sister Becky? She's not. Yeah. Is there anything else we need to make mention of? Not well. Do you have a song here? Number 118. We'll sing number 118. You may stand while we sing if you like, and we'll endeavor to approach the throne of grace by prayer. And we covet an interest in your prayers while we try to do that, and then while we try to speak also. And we covet an interest in your prayers while we try to pray.
I need
the prayers of those I love while traveling o'er life's rugged way, that I may true and faithful be and live for Jesus every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear
my tempted
soul above, and
intercede
with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I need the prayers of those I love to help me in each trying hour, to bear my tempted soul to Him, that He may keep me by His power. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above,
and
intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I want my praise to pray for me, to hold me up on wings of faith, that I may walk the narrow way, kept by our Father's glorious grace. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I meant to say, usually we have as many as was in the ark here, eight or more, and but today we like one. We just have seven, but that's a complete number. That's God's perfect or complete number, the number seven. So as long as we are in His plan of completion and perfection, well, I think we're safe and doing well. So bow with us and we'll try to pray. Our most kind and merciful Father, it's again that we come thanking Thee for Thy darling Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose wonderful name we approach Thy great and terrible throne, realizing, our Father, that within ourselves we have no righteousness of our own to approach unto Thee, and would forever be banished from Thy presence except for the love and the mercy and the grace that Thou hast bounded towards us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank Thee, dear Lord, that Thou loved us and gave Thyself for us, was willing to suffer for our sins and iniquities, and to live a life fulfilling the law perfectly in every jot and tittle, and then going to the cross and offering up that innocent, sinless sacrifice that our sins might be atoned for, and then coming forth from the grave as was prophesied for many, many years, victorious over the grave and over death and over hell. And we thank Thee, dear Lord, for Thy church and kingdom which Thou hast set up here in the earth, and thank Thee, dear Lord, for Thy providential grace that has led us to the house of our brethren, that we might assemble ourselves together and render unto Thee praises and thanksgiving for Thy wonderful mercy and grace. And we thank Thee, blessed Father and Son, for the Holy Ghost that Thou hast sent down from heaven, that Thou mightest, O Lord, that we might, O Lord, know the truth and know it is as it is in Christ Jesus. We thank You, dear Lord, for such wonderful grace and mercy as Thou hast bestowed upon us, that we should be a few of Thy broken creation that has been led to the house of the truth and has revealed a portion of it to our dear souls, that we might be set free from the philosophies of men that lie in wait to deceive and to ensnare. We thank You again, dear Lord, for Thy natural blessings in this wonderful country that Thou hast blessed, for the freedoms that we enjoy and the prosperity that we have. We realize, O Lord, that Thou art the God of creation, the God of providence, the God of all grace, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's to Thee we humbly bow and desire to worship Thee and pray that Thou will receive our worship this day. We pray for our rulers and our leaders. We pray for the sick. And, O Lord, remember Brother Hilton and Sister Janie in their trials and tribulations. For Thou knowest, O Lord, their labor of love towards Thy name and Thy cause and Thy house here in Reedsville. Lord, we pray that Thou will remember them in Thy long-suffering and mercy, that the doctors might be successful and they might return home and to Thy church and place of worship that they love so well. These mercies and grace we ask, O Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We've had a verse of scripture come to our mind this morning, and it's the first few verses of the book of Jude, and we've covered a continued interest in your prayers as we endeavor to speak. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's five verses, and we'll stop there. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. I think it's amazing. Jude and James were the brothers of Jesus Christ. Oh, we half-brothers, we might say, because the Lord Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and they were conceived by Joseph and Mary. But instead of saying a brother of Jesus Christ, he refers to himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now here we see the power of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I believe without this faith, he would refer to himself as a brother of Jesus Christ. But when he viewed Christ by faith, he saw the Son of God, not his half-brother. He saw a Savior who was sent and appointed to deliver the Lord's people from their sins, from the law of condemnation under which they were imprisoned. And so by faith, Jude is able to see beyond the natural thinkings of the natural mind and the bloodline. I've heard a lot of times when there's trouble in the church, or there's people that love the church and yet won't join the church. And I've heard Elder Moore and others say, said, blood is thicker than water. And in other words, what they're saying is that because their family never joined the church but would come and love it, they did the same thing. And that the bloodline, connection between the affections between the family by blood was stronger than the love of being baptized to follow the Lord. In that sense, said that the blood was stronger or thicker than water. But when faith, if you go to the 12th chapter of Hebrews, 11th chapter of Hebrews, 11th chapter of Hebrews, which is all about faith. And it starts off and says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So up until Noah's time, it had never rained. He had never seen any rain. And yet, being warned of God, he built an ark on dry land by faith. And these Enoch, Abel, in other words, with all of these men were motivated by faith. I remember so distinctly when I went to a church of another order when I first, after I first made a confession of faith. And we had an evangelist there one time, or what they call a week's meeting, what is it? Revival. And this man was preaching on faith. And he kept telling the congregation that if they would exercise their faith, they could do this, they could do that. And God would do this and God would do that if they would exercise their faith. And he kept talking about, by faith, you can do this and you can do that. But if you'll notice there, this says that by faith, these other men were motivated. In other words, faith motivated them. Faith moved them. It was through faith that they did. Faith was the power. Not the subject of their power to manipulate like they would or wanted to, but faith moves them. Faith is the, Peter says that we're saved by grace through faith, by the power of God through faith. We're saved by the power of God through faith. So faith is the power of God in us that motivates us to, and these men, to do these things. So Jude, rather than to look for his, to his blood lineage as a brother or half-brother of Jesus Christ, he by faith said he was a servant of Jesus Christ. In other words, he saw Jesus not as a brother, but as the appointed Messiah. He was the one that God had sent to save his people from their sins. And so we have this wonderful moving of the Holy Ghost. We know that the scriptures were written by men who were moved by the Holy Ghost. And if we want to know the truth, if we want to be guided by the truth and by the gift of God, which is faith, well, then we're going to have to follow the truth, believe the truth, and act upon the truth which he has given us. And we have it absolutely here in the Word of God. So Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. To be sanctified, as we've said many, many times, is to be set apart. And I love to, I think about immediately the, all the articles in the tabernacle the uniforms, the priest wore, the candelabra, the showbread, and all of these things that were used that the priest came and offered up sacrifices to God by were sanctified. They were set apart and they were to be used in that service and nothing else. You could not take them out of the temple or out of the tabernacle and use them for anything else. They were sanctified. And so Jude says, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. So that tells us that God has sanctified a people for his namesake. And in the book of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says that we are in him, in Christ. We are in Christ by God. So he says by him, he's referring to God, he's just referred to. By him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So being in Christ is the results of being sanctified by God the Father. God the Father chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And when he saw us or put us in Christ, then we have been a sanctified people ever since. And everyone that God foreknew before the world began, God, who is an eternal being and who has forever known everything, he doesn't learn anything, for he has forever known it. So he has forever known his people. And he has forever known that they are sanctified in Christ, their Savior, because they were in him and chosen in him before we had a being in this world. And so the Apostle Jude, being moved by the Holy Ghost, which is God, wrote to them that were sanctified in Christ Jesus. And so we are set apart as a peculiar people, a peculiar treasure, a peculiar possession unto God that he has forever known and loved with an everlasting love. And beloved, regardless of our faith, how weak it gets, and our doubts and fears, we're safe. We're safe in Jesus. We just sang, blessed are those that sleep in Jesus, that rest in Jesus. Well, we are safe in Jesus too, because he is our sanctification and our redemption. And Jude goes on and says that we are preserved in Jesus Christ, which I've already touched on, because we were chosen in Christ. We were by God put in him to start with. And he is our sanctification. He is our redemption. He is our wisdom. And most of all, he is our righteousness. Without righteousness, we could never appear before God. And all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in his sight, so the scripture says. So without his righteousness, there would be no hope at all for us to appear justified, sanctified, glorified before the throne of God. So, beloved, how we ought to fall down and worship and praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with all of our being and all of our life. And since we are sanctified, we are preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So here's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit calls. And some commentators say this call is the gospel call. But beloved, this is not the gospel call. This is that small, still voice that speaks and you live. This is that calling that quickens you from a deadness in sin to a newness in life that translates you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, whereby you become awakened to your sinful condition and flee to Christ by faith to lay hold to Him who is our rock and our Savior. Who is He that is higher than I and is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him? He is the appointed Savior. He is the anointed Savior. And He is the only Savior. There is no other. And this He said Himself, not to boast, but because it's the truth. And since He is the truth, He can only tell the truth. And so He said, no man cometh to the Father but by Me. And He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And apart from Him, there is no approach to God by sinful men and women in this world. So we heard Elder Piles coming up here that he went over the times that the world to come, or that world as opposed to this world. The apostles and the Lord Jesus Himself, the Lord Jesus said that, they came to Him, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They said there was no such things as spirits, the Holy Ghost, angels, and no life after death, no resurrection. That was a doctrine of the Sadducees. Now the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. And so they came to the Lord one time and put this question to Him. They said, the Jews were looking for the promised Messiah. And each family or household coveted the idea that the Messiah might come through their bloodline. And this would, therefore, it was a law in Israel that if a man died, that his brother was to take his wife, his brother's wife, to keep the bloodline alive, to keep that his name and the bloodline of that family going, hoping that they would be the ones in which the Savior was born. And so the Sadducees came, and they thought they were going to trick the Lord. And He said, there was this family, and they had seven brothers. And the oldest brother married, and then he died, and the next brother married his wife, and then the next brother, until finally all seven of them married this woman. And then she died last. Now He said, now when they get to heaven, which one of those will be her husband of the seven, for all had her in this life? And the Lord Jesus said, being ignorant of the scriptures and knowing not the power of God, He said, for in this world they marry and are given in marriage, but in that world they are not married or given in marriage, neither do they die and anymore, for they are as the angels in heaven. And so that question was just a fleshly human question out of a natural mind, not understanding the power of God or that world to come whereby we look forward to go someday by the mercy and grace of God. And so by faith we embrace these truths and hold them to be dear, that by which we conquer and overcome the trials and tribulations and setbacks of this life, knowing that there's a better world to come, and that if we are what we hope to be, then we will, by His mercy and grace, be a part of that world whereby all of these trials and tribulations are gone. And so we are preserved in Jesus Christ and called, and so the Holy Spirit cause those that are preserved in Jesus Christ and are sanctified by God the Father. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. There's no schism there anywhere. They're all one, of one mind and of one heart, and their goal is one, and that is to redeem the bride of Christ, which was given him in covenant bonds before the foundation of the world, that they might one day be with him without spot or blemish or any such thing. And so they